that are talking
and
that people are
calling. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, I know that you are from lunch, but you are having an extended invitation to have a dessert outside before we start with our meeting, because I wanted us to be fit for the meeting. Can we grab something outside quickly? I've got a proposal. Honorable members, I wanted to propose something and also to make some few comments. But what I would suggest is that right before that, I wanted to welcome everybody. Chief, may you please sensitize them that we are starting. I wanted to welcome everybody in this room for members of the committee, as well as I saw members from the legislature in Gauteng. They are also welcome. And then also the department is here. And I saw some members from the PMGs. And I was expecting the office of the Auditor General said they will send somebody to represent it. But maybe when we introduce ourselves, that person will be available. But without wasting any time, I'm going to request the following thing, that members to introduce themselves. Start from you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Priscilla and Temba, member of the committee representing Mpumalanga.
Good afternoon, I'm Herman Groenewald, representing the Northwest Province and also a member of the committee.
Good morning, lady. I wanted to be thorough. Lady.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Zolam Lenzana, representing the province of the Eastern Cape. Member of the Select Committee. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Mofokeng from Gauteng, a portfolio committee on infrastructure.
My name is Shukri Bush. I'm from Gauteng, from the Portfolio Committee of Infrastructure Development.
My name is Mduba Puanambong Senzulu, KwaZulu-Natal. I'm representing the province of the with the Senate.
I'll request you to come forward, please, to join the other members. Come, please. Very soon we'll correct you. I know, what is it? What do you mean? No, wait for us a few minutes after we finish introducing ourselves. We might address your concern. Please come and join us in front. We're so lucky in our communities. We have people from the royal family who bring Zuzu. That's a combination. All right. My name is Pepsi Bande, the chairperson of the Select Committee, also originally from Mpumalanga. Therefore, I will request the department to introduce itself.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, my name is Mandla Mabuza. I'm the acting director general.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kathy Mutsisi. I'm the Chief Financial Officer.
Good day, Chairperson. My name is Bucha Matute, Acting Chief Operations Officer.
Good afternoon, Honourable Members. My name is Stanley Anderson, I'm the DDG for the Expanded Public Works Program.
Good day, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm Sasa Sivan from the Asset Investment Management Branch.
Good day, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Lydia Pipi. I'm the DDG responsible for policy.
Good day, Honourable Members. I'm Obed Molusi, acting the DG of Projects. Thank you.
Good day, Honourable Members. My name is Chance Dama,
Acting Chief Director HR.
Afternoon, honorable members. My name is Adam Tumbin, Chief Director, Intergovernmental Relations.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Lucien Rakhwale, and I'm with the Housing Development Agency of the National Human Settlements Department.
Good afternoon, honorable members. My name is Vincent Banja, also from the Housing Development Agency.
Let's give an opportunity, starting from my right.
Good afternoon. My name is Ben Kali from the Committee Section of Parliament.
Good evening, members. My name is Fungile Bulawa from the Committee Section.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Vyakas Masileka from the Parliamentary Office of the Auditor General.
Thank you very much. I think every one of us we have introduced ourselves. There is a person who didn't introduce herself far at the back.
Sorry. Good afternoon. I'm Caroline Timoney from PMG.
Thank you. What am I going to request? I'll suggest that we go to the members that we start with our minutes. And I assumed that we all received the copies of our previous minutes, so that we go through quick. And then also to comment by saying that, please, honorable members, I know that all of us who are committed in many different select committees, but this sitting or this occasion of today is also very much important. We don't want to regret to lose something. Also to the department, because I know very well that acting DG, normally what used to happen, some people, if you meet afternoon, there will be a lot of apologies, people rushing to airport. Today, forget. Just commenting that it mustn't happen, please. Because this thing is also very serious in terms of the select committee. Because some people are making a mistake. They evaluate between the two houses, between the National Assembly and the select committee in the NCOP. They are prioritizing that if they go to the NA, they keep to the point. But when they come here, maybe they take just life as it is. While this is a more serious house, because we are directly linked to the provinces as well as the locals. For an example, our programs we're attending most of the provinces in the taking parliament to the people. Mama Mabija, you are more than welcome. What I'll request is for you to introduce yourself, and then we continue, hoping that everybody does have minutes so that you can start with the minutes very quick, and then so that you can give the department for time being to strategize how they're going to approach their briefing.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm used to going the other side, so I sit there, there's nobody, then I checked again. The mindset is always the side. So I'm sorry, I'm Abija Ribohani, a member of this select committee representing Limpopo Province.
Thank you, ma'am. Hoping that all the members do all have the minutes. Let's start from the 2nd August. Anybody who doesn't have anything so that you can arrange quick. Yes. Ma. Chief, may you please arrange quick. Make sure that they all have the minutes. You can talk.
Thanks, Chairperson. With due respect, I'll quickly withdraw if it's because of my own disorganization. Then I will withdraw. But I wanted to appeal if we can share this item form. We deal with the presentation by the department first, and then after it, we come with minutes. I want to appeal.
Mama Temba.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the honorable member must withdraw because the chairperson has spoken to the department. So we are in agreement. So you can withdraw. Thank you.
Let's just go back to the minutes. I think also the disadvantage that you were ill last week. You were supposed to start with the minutes. Minutes of the 2nd August. Let's go from page 1. First of all, do you all have the minutes? 2nd August? Yes. This one. August, page 1, page 2, page 6, page 7, let's move for the adoption of the minutes. Mama is raising the hand to adopt the minutes. Any seconder?
Something that I want us to put on record when we were introducing ourselves. You know, for the department also to understand our roles, Mr. Kali introduced himself as from committee section. By right, he is the secretary. Though he is from the committee section, but he's the secretary of the committee. Because definitely he communicates with the department at all times. So I think it must be clear on record. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mama, to remind me. I wanted to comment with that one. Because you're correct. The people must know exactly what is our line function. Thank you, ma'am. 26 September. Page 1, 6 September. Mr. Honorable Member Mlenzan.
Thanks, Chair. I'm glad you are at it. Maybe when we're in the third session, I will be fine.
You do not pick up who else was in attendance.
I remember it is that big meeting where you had delegations and delegations, but they do not appear.
Thanks.
Is it clear, Secretary?
Use your mic, please. We don't normally put other attendees in the minutes of the committee. We don't normally have them on the
Chairperson, thank you. I think the secretary should be saying it's an oversight, because definitely we must know who attended. You can't just say the department presented. Who from the department presented? We need that list. We usually put it, unless if it's a new thing. If the committee secretary can say it's an oversight, we will, you know, agree and say we will adopt with amendment, because we want those names there.
Honorable Temba and honorable members, you are more than 100%. It must reflect, because this form part of our records, what happened in this and this and this. If there is any maybe reference, so that people can be easier, that these people were there when this was happening. Thank you, Mama Temba. Page 1, 6 September. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, Let's move for the adoption of the minutes. Before, yes?
I am going to move for adoption, Chair, but weary, very, very weary, Chair, of the fact that when you look at the size of the documentation, the size, the length and intent of the debate, and resolutions and commitments which were part of the meeting, one would then say, yes, let's go with minutes, but I'm very weary. I want to be honest with you, but there is nothing much that we can do, because I am now more howling, because I'm unable to pin down the situation, but I'm just raising records that it should have been highly, highly, highly summarized in the document. But I move for adoption.
Mama Temba? And the second now?
Yes.
Mama Temba wants to say, comment. You wanted to say something?
I'm seconding that we adopt this minute with amendment. That the secretary go and amend the minutes, starting with the first page, putting names of all the people who were present. And we mustn't actually make a summary, because yes, I can make a summary if it was just my own document. But this is not an individual's document, it's a public document. So can we do the correct thing? Thank you, Chair.
Point taken. Let's go to
I want to be late. I came late, maybe. We are adopting minutes, ne? And we are doing that with the department here with us. Mlenzana, Honorable Mlenzana, I mentioned that, and Honorable Temba let know. But now I'm beginning to understand. It's like there's something wrong here. If we are dealing with these minutes in the presence of the departments, whereas the departments are not appearing as being present, like we appear one by one, I don't understand. Can you just clarify me so that we'll be on the same level of understanding? Maybe it's because I came late.
Okay, fine. Let me clarify by correcting this way. My, this process started long ago, even last week, we postponed this thing. People were giving these minutes so that they can have their comments. There's nothing wrong with the presence of this department, there's presence also of the portfolio committee. Because the minutes were issued last week, not even last week. Last week was just a follow-up. Unfortunately, we didn't form a quorum, and also we had a problem with the systems of parliament. I think you are on the right course. And the proposal which was made by the honorable members that we adopted with amendments, there's nothing wrong with that one. I think we're on the right course. Thank you. Let's go to the next minute. September 20. First page, ma'am.
First page also, Chairperson, the similar comment that we need to know who was here from the department.
That one is taken.
Interruption. We don't even have, some of us do not have minutes. I've gone there trying to get hold of them.
Members, I don't want you to take us back. I want you to comment with something, please, good members. Ne? Some of these minutes are there in your emails. Some of the documents, not some, all of the documents are there in your emails. I'll request you to use your secretary effectively so that your secretaries can assist in that regard.
The meeting cannot go on with me without some of us without minutes because our secretary is not.
Okay.
With us.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. Okay, let's continue. Minutes of the Tuesday, 20 September. Chief, may you please help us make sure that every member they do have all these documents. 20 September, page 1. Page 2.
you know, Chairperson, apologies in advance. Please. I don't like to appear. You say I was sick and I don't want to be seen to be testing now my physical strength in this meeting that I am now fine. But if you look at this document, it's becoming thinner and thinner and thinner. I know the reasons before that minute could not be looked at. But this is a summary of a summary. I really don't know.
Honorable Temba.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a proposal or a suggestion to make, to say, seeing that now the problem is every time we look at the minutes, the problem is growing and growing. Can we refer the minutes back to the secretary so that he can go and correct them? We know we have, you know, been receiving this document every time we couldn't confirm a quorum. But I think this concern is not the first concern that we are making. If I remember very well, we were in Good Hope Center. We couldn't adopt the minutes because they were in this form. So I'm proposing that the secretary go and correct the minutes, and also to say, if the secretary says the minutes were sent to the members' emails in committees, every time you come to the committee as a committee secretary, you bring more documents so that members who do not have the documents can be assisted so that the process can not be delayed. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Member, it means that a minute of the 20 September deferred back to the Secretary for activation. Yes. Honourable Zulu, followed by Honourable Mdenzane.
So I propose sometimes it's possible to, on this meeting, take aside all of this minute issue and then proceed with the presentation. That's my proposal.
Baba Zulu, we explained before. They are long overdue. Yes, Babu Mdenzane.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by appealing to the chair and the secretary to please take the thing as it comes. I don't think that minutes are now overdue because we are currently dealing with the minutes. His minutes is on record that today they have been dealt with. But Chair, this now is about the content of the minutes. What I was proposing, before, I thought it would come to this, that one can even offer, you know, just that I was saying this. Was I not busy, you know, Chairperson, the secretary knows. I usually, once minutes are emailed, I would go through and respond prior to the meeting. Now, I know it may not occur, well, that at this stage we are beginning to be seen to be rubbishing the minutes, but the truth of the matter is that we honestly have to put content because these minutes are going to archive. Hence, then, I think maybe what we can do, in addition to what Honorable Zulu is saying, that we don't just say these minutes be put in abeyance, but we engage the minutes, we invite members to starting tonight, because these minutes are in our laptops, correctly, as you have said. They are in our emails. We read these emails, we throw our input back to the secretary, so that next time there's no stage where we would begin to raise issues, because the federal will be able to say, but Honorable Ndlovu did not say a word, he read the minute. So I concur with Honorable Ndlovu.
Okay. Colleagues, let's have 1 minute meeting, please. Honorable Tau, we are more than welcome. Honorable Tau is also a member of this committee. I think what is going to happen now, the minutes of the 20th September and the minutes of the 15th November and the minutes of the 1st November will defer them back to the Secretariat to rectify them. Is that correct? Members, is that correct? Okay, fine. If is that correct, it seems today just need to run for the action. Okay, thanks. Okay. It seems that we... Yes, ma'am. Mama Temba.
Chairperson, I think the minutes of the 16th are correct. The 15th, just that the department is not... Okay.
Chemist Perus from the best. Actually, I wanted a directive from you. That's why I was commenting that what do we do as a way forward on this. Because the minutes of the 20th September, I'm subject for correction. Is this it? We agree that we defer back to the Secretariat.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the 1st November then. What am I going to request? Honourable members, I wanted to appeal. If anybody wants to talk, raise your hand so that I can point to. Honourable Mama Temba. Honourable Lenzane.
Perhaps chair, to assist the meeting. I know some members have just joined us. They would be confused. The same thing applies here. There is a very, very critical sentence which I would expect from the minutes of the first on apologies. Remember, I was very consistent on that day on apologies, and you kept on saying, wait. Do you remember? And I waited. Up to when I demanded an explanation as to where were those provinces. But now, there's nothing talking about those provinces here. It was on the day when this delegation from Gauteng was here without the department, and there were explanations that we demanded, which should be appearing here. Hence, I go back, I want to appeal. Honestly, there's a lot here, and I mean when I'm saying this is about content, because it's going to archive. I want to appeal that let's not crack our nerves here. Please.
Any second? Thank you. You see what other members, procedurally, I can't just jump. If the thing is brought to the attention of the members, it must go to the members. Is it there in the order paper of today? I mean, in our list of the day, in terms of the itinerary or agenda of the day. Thank you, Babu Mlenzane. Let's go to the next meeting of the 15th. Umama, which was appealing, and unfortunately she went out. On the 15th, the last one, 15th November. Fifteenth
November. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Say speech.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I move, Chair, that we adopt this minute with amendment. Same approach.
Any seconder? Seconded. Adopted with amendments. Colleagues, I don't want to comment anything about the issue of the secretariat and other stuff. I'll comment at the end of this meeting. Without wasting any time, thank you very much for this opportunity about the minutes, because they were piling their piles and piles of minutes. Let's go come back to the department. The department, as I indicated, that you are more than welcome to, this is our day for a presentation of your annual report. Let's give it to the department to start doing their thing.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chair, thank you very much for having invited us to come and make a presentation on the annual report for the year under review. The approach of our presentation is we'll deal with both the Minister's overview and accounting officer's overview. Relevant DDGs will then make presentations on the achievements per program and sub-program. The CFO will then deal with the financial performance and audit reports for the year under review, an update on the process to address the asset register challenges will be articulated by the DDG Asset Investment Management. We'll then conclude by also dealing with the issue of the audit of land for human settlement purposes. Honorable members, our point of departure was that the financial year 2010-11 was governed by and guided by a number of policy principles. These policy principles include, but not limited to, the central challenge that is facing South Africa, that is povertyization and addressing issues of unemployment. The building of the state capacity to implement programs and policies of government. Investment in productive infrastructure. It is our view that in continuous investment in infrastructure stimulates economic growth, and economic growth subsequently creates jobs. And in this regard, there's a number of interventions that the department has already made. To give you an example of concrete capital investment in productive infrastructure was made. The department has, for example, in the Tshwane Metro, completed the construction of the National Library, the refurbishment of the central government offices, the construction of Civitas, an office that is hosting or rather a headquarters of the Department of Health. We'll be continuing to reconstruct HD Divert with a total of 15,000 square meters, and the AgriVal building with a total square meters of 19,000. Our continued intent on the construction of the Savalcorp precinct The total investment in productive infrastructure around that metro amounts to about $2 billion, making government through Department of Public Works to be the single biggest player in investment in the productive infrastructure. Implementation of government priorities also defines our point of departure. We're making a point, Honorable Members, that critical attention was paid to a number of programs. For purposes of this report under review, was the upscaling of the Expanded Public Works Program. The debate regarding how we accelerate phase two of the Expanded Public Works Program, especially as this relates to a principal agreement on the review of the integrated incentive grant model, shifting it from being a Schedule 8 grant as per the Division of Revenue Act to Schedule 5, it's a matter that continues to guide us. The DDG EPWP will provide details with regards to these matters of EPWP. Enhancement of immovable asset register was one of our flagship programs. And in this regard, the DDG Asset Investment Management will provide details in a chapter that deals with asset register. Energy efficiency, our participation in energy efficiency in the public sector, the role that we have played in preparation and towards COP17, is a matter that the DDG policy will also provide details on. Continued implementation of the Government Immovable Asset Management Act through the compilation of the UMs and CAMs, it's an issue that we've paid particular attention to. We continue to implement capital investment in the land ports authorities. In particular, we've completed our investment in the Lebombo border post between South Africa and Mozambique, the fuel strip between South Africa and Namibia, Skelpad Hek between South Africa and Botswana, Kolela between South Africa and Swaziland. In the year under review, we started a planning process for the acquisition of land for the construction of and an expansion of the South African border between South Africa and the Sotho. The annual report of the department, Honorable Members, articulates the enormity of the task that has confronted the department in the year under review. And in this regard, the configuration of the department to address the 10 key priority areas of government was a matter that has always shaped and informed whatever interventions that were made. Strengthening of institutional pillars and guidelines for the implementation of GIAMA. The department has made progressive attempts to manage assets of the state, and we want to make a point, a very complex portfolio indeed. This, would like to believe, is evident through the development of the asset management plans as were set, the enhancement of the data integrity of the asset register, and of course the acceleration of unutilized property disposals within the context of our continued implementation of the National Infrastructure Maintenance Strategy. Honorable Members, were making a point that notwithstanding the global economic downturn, the department has made and managed to deliver a number of mega infrastructure projects. We're making examples of few infrastructure projects amongst many. We're making few because these are mega. The department is running about 6,000 projects per financial year with a total budget of about $7 billion per financial year. Some of the mega projects that we've completed, it includes a number of police stations and magistrate courts. Was made the point around the completion of construction projects in the land ports of entries. At the international sphere, we've already completed and handed over South Africa Embassy in Nigeria, in Ethiopia, and in Lesotho, whilst the president has already officially opened and handed over the Oliver Regional Tambo Military Development Agency in Uganda, Kawawetta. We are continuing with the construction of the Mathole Interpretation Center in Mozambique. This monument will be opened by President Zuma and President Ebuza in February 2012. Already we are continuing the processes of assisting the construction of further embassies in the north part of Africa as part and parcel of doing our international work. In partnership with the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, we've already started the planning and design phase for the construction of the Wall of Remembrance at the Kutokwana Valley as part and parcel of our international work. In collaboration with the Department of Defense, the department has accelerated the construction of community bridges. And of course, in partnership with the Independent Development Trust, we continue to advance the projects of eradication of inappropriate school structures across the rural landscape of South Africa as part and parcel of building more rural cities, as part and parcel of bringing government to the people. In this regard, the department has taken a principled decision to say, as part and parcel of reducing state reliance on the private property portfolio, we should accelerate the state portfolio. In this regard, we're already in a position to, we're planning to construct new government offices in regions such as Nelspruit, in Mthatha, in Polokwane, as part and parcel of increasing state's property portfolio. In support, therefore, of government national goals, the department continues to enhance its legislative environment through the review, amongst others, of the expropriation bill, so as to empower the state to expropriate property for public purpose in the public interest. The review of the Built Environment Professions Act to enable young professionals in the built environment and accelerate the pace with which they acquire accreditation in different professions of the built environment. And the process, of course, of the establishment of the Agrima South Africa to make it a juristic person. We have prioritized in the year under review the management of our immovable asset portfolio through the enhancement of the asset register and vesting of assets in collaboration with the Department of Rural Development and a number of provinces in this regard. The intensification and collaboration with spheres of government for improved service delivery was at the core of our intervention. And this has manifested itself in the National Department of Public Works releasing about 6,327 hectares of land and about 1,031 hectares for human settlement and for the construction of the low-cost housing. For the year under review, we have completed the construction of building bridges in partnership with the Department of Defense. We can confirm today that the bridges in the following areas were completed: in Nugu River Crossing, the Port St. John's, and so forth and so forth. For the year under review, honorable members, the department undertook many construction and maintenance projects amounting to, we'll say, 5.7 billion rand. This building program of the state consists of minor projects, which takes about 3 months, and major projects, which are running over 3 years with various start and completion dates. Some of the examples that we've, of the projects that we've completed include the construction of the new state-of-the-art regional office in Bloemfontein, the construction and completion of the Nylstroom Prison and Circo Treatment Center in Limpopo, the police station in Klerksdorp Northwest, the renovation and repairs of Home Affairs and Justice in the Eastern Cape, the construction of magistrate courts in Tsakane and Thokoza, the magistrate court in Nkangala and Mpumalanga, the new generation prison in Northern Cape, the renovation and repairs of Chatsworth Police Station in KwaZulu-Natal. In the context of Western Cape, we will be completing at the end of this month the first ever state-of-the-art laboratory center in the continent for the South African Police Service. And of course, I'm making a point that facilities on behalf of the Department of Justice were recently completed and handed over in various places such as Galeshewe, Colesberg, Pietermaritzburg, and Butterworth. And this continues to be the work of the department for the year under review. Chairperson, should you therefore concur, I would request the CFO to proceed dealing with achievements in as far as the finance and the supply chain management. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm going to take you through the performance of the finance branch for the financial year ended 2010-11. The first output was implemented action plan for GAAP compliance on the property management trading entity of the department, in the indicator then being the implemented action plan. We reported a 70% achievement, being 44% target out of that 70% achieved. We had 16 action outputs on the PMT action plan and only 7 actions were achieved. That represented the 44%. The reason for the deviation were likely attributable to the fact that the system that we had planned to acquire during the year under review was not acquired. The second output was improved revenue and debtors management for the property management trading entity. We had set ourselves a target of 50% reduction of the debtors book. We achieved 62%. During the period under review on the reduction of the debtors book, which was we closed the books on a 1.3 billion. The opening balance at the beginning of the financial year was 2 billion. Collected revenue, the target was 80% collection. We achieved 97%. This was revenue collected for the invoices in the current, in the year under review, not the previous backlogs of revenue that was not collected. What we claimed in the year under review, we collected 97% of it. Improved internal controls, we had planned to develop 7 policies with 90% implementation. We achieved 80. During the period under review, the 7 policies were developed. Some of the policies were just reviewed, not that we did not have them in the department, but we needed to review them, which was the petty cash policy. Irregular expenditure was a new policy that we developed. We never had that one in the department, an authorized excess expenditure. Corporate credit card was also a new policy, and movable assets a new policy. Travel and cellular phone, it's existing policies that we have reviewed, including the user, logic user manual management policy. The other output was improved management of movable assets. We had targeted 90% compliance. We achieved 90% as it was clear from the audit report that this item was not part of our issues or disclaimer items. Improved payments of invoices. We had, in terms of our payment register, we had targeted to pay all the 80% of the invoices within 30 days. We achieved 66.7% from the steps that we kept in the office. Most of the invoices which were paid after 30 days was as a result of the late submission, either submitted by the contractors or the service providers late to the department. Thanks. In terms of improved supply chain management, we had a target of 80% compliance. We achieved 82.69% compliance. The number of contracts awarded to HDI companies amounted to 1,080 with a value of 471 million. The number of contracts awarded to non-HDI is 224, with a sum value of 131 million. Then the next one was the 80% compliance on our credible on the database. We accredited 607 service suppliers from the about 3,749 forms that were received. Total accreditation of suppliers was below what we had targeted, which was just 16.19%. Thanks.
On corporate services, as it relates to IT, our output was enabling our output was enabling IT systems to support core operational areas in the department. Our target was 100% implementation. We only achieved 50%. The reason for deviation was challenges around the structural differences as it relates to the integration of data between the systems. In terms of human resource management, our output was human resource management plan. As an indicator, we're focusing on reducing the vacancy rate to around 10% of the total establishment. We have not been able to achieve that target. We sustained a 20.68 vacancy rate, although we had advertised and filled 536 positions. The reason for deviation was the fact that because of the over expenditure on the compensation of employees, we were only focusing and prioritizing critical vacant positions, which were also funded. But there were also new positions which were created and had to be filled immediately. In terms of for security management, we had an output to ensure compliance with national intelligence agency requirements. As a target, we were aiming to have 180 employees per year vetted. We were only able to vet 78 employees, 36 with secret clearances, 13 top secret, 29 confidential. I think part of the deviation is the fact that we relied a lot on the NIA processes. Not to say NIA has actually failed us, but I think we the kind of work that NIA had to do to issue these clearances is such that it's very cumbersome in nature. We had a target to vet 1,000 companies. We only vetted 413 companies, which were cleared and incorporated into the database. The reason why we did not meet the target is because we can only vet and clear what is submitted, and the numbers that were submitted was 413, and we're able to vet all those. In terms of the implementation of the new disability strategy, we achieved 1%. The target was 1%. We achieved 1.15% of the total establishment, which translated into 56 officials. In terms of skills transfer, we had an output to transfer skills, courtesy of the international bilateral agreements with Cuba. Our target was 200 beneficiaries. We were able to have 450 beneficiaries in the program, which were mentored by the Cuban advisory, Cuban technical advisors. Under legal services, our output was to provide expertise and advice that offers compliance. As an indicator, we needed to ensure reduction in the backlog of legal cases. Target was 30% reduction. We achieved 15%. However, in terms of litigation cases, cumulatively, we're able to address 878, actual cases, 294, finalized, 45, pending, 188, new matters, as at the end of the performance cycle, were 61. The reason why we did not achieve was simply because we were dependent on court proceedings, which not much control we have as a department. In terms of total number of contracts, we achieved 100% as it relates to the completion of contracts. Those are the breakdowns. Admin cases handled 1,426, drafted 232, commented on 145, signed 920, amended 48, guarantees released 32, and guarantees received 48. Thank you.
Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues, good afternoon. In internal audit is one of the support units that are keen to make sure that the department complies with all the prescripts, especially financial prescripts. This unit set itself to ensure that all the audits are conducted and reported. And secondly, that the audit committees, they are functional. Develop a comprehensive audit implementation plan. We set ourselves a target of 80%, and we can report to the honorable members that we have achieved 92%. All the risk assessments that were planned according to the audit plan were done. All the audit committee meetings were held. These include the audit committee, that is the departmental official committee. All the meetings that were set were held, including the external audit committee that is appointed by the minister. All those meetings were held. What we did not achieve 100% of is the implementation plan that we developed for ourselves at the beginning of the year. Of this, we achieved 75%. Then we come to the strategic management unit. This is a unit that actually results in us planning as a department properly and developing the plans, again, according to the prescripts, the business plans, the APPs. This unit assists us in doing that. One of the key functions that they're supposed to do during the course of the year is to assist the department to develop a risk management policy that will look at the business risk of each and every unit in the department. We set ourselves to have the strategy developed and approved and other related activities. We set a target of 60%. 60% was achieved. The enterprise risk management strategy was developed and approved. All risk registers, we have to sit with all the units, both at national and at provincial level, to sit with all the units to identify the go through their risk registers and make sure that they are compliant and they are auditable for the following year. We're able to do that in the past year, which is what we've been using in this current financial year, 2011-12. We set also, especially a high-risk unit, we set with them to identify and review their high-risk registers and update those. One of, again, the support units in the department is monitoring and evaluation unit, which makes sure that as part of the compliance activities, we report to the relevant committees of parliament and other structures like we are doing now, appropriately in terms of what we set ourselves to do. We set ourselves last year to develop a framework, M&E framework, which we have agreed. But being M&E, it's important that we must continuously improve quality. So this document, even though it was developed, we keep engaging the units so that they can put their targets. If you cannot put your targets appropriately, it is going to be difficult to drive to achieve what you set yourself to achieve. So we continue to engage the various units to make sure that they improve the quality of their information. And obviously, during the course of the year, is to ensure that the policy is being implemented. I can confirm, Honorable Chair and members, that in the department we produce quarterly reports and all the other relevant reports in terms of M&E that we are supposed to hence, even today, we are able to be here. We set ourselves, as I said earlier on, to go to all the relevant units, to consult with them and continuously and making sure that we align their reporting, we assist in the reporting template, so that when you see a report from one unit, you don't find different reports. We align the reporting template, which we did, we set with the various units. We have set and tried to improve the quality of reporting. And what has to happen when you see this report at every unit reporting, it has to be accompanied by a portfolio of evidence. So we set to make sure that we achieve that, and that portfolio of evidence is an indication of performance for each unit. One of the reasons we are able to be here, or units that are able to make sure that we are here, honorable members, is intergovernmental relations, which is a unit that coordinates with all the relevant stakeholders and ensure that we have smooth intergovernmental relations with parliament, with provinces, all the spheres of government, with other government departments. This unit set itself to schedule all the meetings that are required by prescripts. Again, we will set ourselves, for instance, a minister would set 4 meetings a year with the MECs, or we as administrators would set 4 meetings a year with other HODs of the province, and the assessed meetings for parliament. This committee has got to make sure that those meetings, they happen, and they happen efficiently. When, for instance, honorable members, we have to implement a project in a province, this unit has to go first and make sure that the communities are mobilized, they understand and support the program. I can report, honorable chair, that during the year under review, we've had a total of 32 meetings, intergovernmental and related meetings. They have been coordinated by this unit. We have had 8 public participation in these. Those are the meetings of the minister and the deputy minister and the communities. We've had 24 parliamentary meetings and 5 oversight visits. This unit also coordinates on behalf of the department corporate governance activities of the public entities that are reporting to the department. To make sure that the boards, they are appointed when they need to, and the meetings are held. During the year under review, this committee has held 4 meetings, facilitated 4 meetings between the minister and the public entities where they account and report to the minister. The unit has also facilitated the appointment of board members of the Council for Built Environment, the AGRIMA South Africa, and the CIDB. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. In terms of asset investment management...
Excuse me. Before you continue, what would you suggest? The more you give the presentation, don't use acronyms.
you can use full names, please, so that members can be able to catch. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of asset investment management and the critical program of asset register management and enhancement, towards obtaining an accurate and complete asset register, it is essential that we've identified asset register fields that have to be populated with essential information. In this regard, we've only achieved 82% in terms of populating the field with essential information. And in terms of additional supplementary information, we accordingly didn't achieve that. The reason being that the project for supplementary information has been put on hold because there's engagements at the moment with the Accountant General in terms of defining minimum requirements that will be then accepted by both national and provincial government, and this is also in alignment with GIAMA. In terms of the vesting master plan, the vesting master plan and the strategy has accordingly been completed and is effected towards last year and this year. It's currently in progress. In terms of vesting of state land, the vesting master plan intends to coordinate vesting across national and provincial governments. For vesting of state land for national, our target was 55%. We achieved 35%. And we are in the process of aligning with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform in terms of the statistics. The statistics for vesting is provided by the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and we and the verification process is continuous. In terms of my presentation, a detailed presentation on the asset register, we'll get into more detail on that and how we're moving forward towards completing for vesting towards 2014. The approved amnesty core strategy, the strategy was 100% completed. It's been implemented. We have a call center that is active where people from the public can report houses, etc., that are occupied without permission. We move on to the next category, which is the key accounts management unit. The unit undertook to complete user asset management templates for 27 national departments and entities for the year under review, and 90% was achieved. The capital works implementation program and the plan maintenance implementation program was accordingly devised on time and had been signed off and approved. The service level agreement was signed by 16 client departments out of the 34 users where SLAs were submitted. We're happy to indicate to the committee that as we speak, all the SLAs have been signed. Towards portfolio strategies.
Sorry, same mistake. We requested that don't use acronyms.
The SLAs reference to service level agreements. My mistake. Sorry, Chairperson. Towards portfolio strategies. Portfolio strategies developed, we aim to achieve 70%. However, 59% was developed. However, the DPW portfolio strategies were completed. And from this particular document, we were able to make informed decisions in terms of our state portfolio versus our lease portfolio, which we are effecting from this financial year and into the MTEC. The custodian asset management plans, this document is being developed. We achieved 45% And this is due to the fact that this is a slow progress. It's due to the fact that this is a complex requirement by YAMA, and we require more resources and skills in this regard. Move on to the revenue strategies, as well as strategies in and around our superfluous and redundant properties. Our target was 10%, and in the year under review, we only managed to develop our strategy document, and we will implement that going forward this financial year. Towards the green environment and implementing water efficiency and energy efficiency strategies, as well as making buildings more accessible. For energy efficiency, we're glad to announce that we exceeded our targets by implementing the shared savings model relevant to energy management, and we were able to save 206,135 kilowatts. For water consumption, we targeted 2%, but through the share savings model, once again, we were able to achieve 10% reduction. For buildings to be made accessible with people with disabilities, we targeted 64 buildings, and we're happy to announce that we completed 121 buildings in the last in the period under review. Rehabilitation over the MTEF, we targeted 64 buildings. 7 buildings have been completed, and the rest of the buildings will be completed as per project life cycle. The disposal program for foreign properties, we identified 20 properties for disposal. We disposed 6 properties, but the properties are also subject to release of approvals by Department of International Relations and Cooperation. 14 properties were approved for disposal by the Minister for Commercial Properties, and 25 properties in process of approval, and it will be finalized in this financial year. For a land for land reform purposes, we targeted 55, but we achieved 34, and 21 properties are also in processing and will be achieved this financial year. The land for housing, agriculture, the MOU which we signed with Human Settlement in terms of Minister's Outcome 8, we targeted 1,000 hectares of land, and we were able to release 1,031 hectares of land for Human Settlement purposes, and we've got a detailed presentation in and around the release of land per province. We move on to portfolio analysis. This particular unit, they analyze the immovable asset portfolio on a portfolio level as well as for projects for investment purposes. On the portfolio level, the list of identified possibilities of portfolio segmentation for analysis was 50%, and for analysis over the year, and they achieved 96% of the annual request was completed. For project-related requests for portfolio analysis, the target was 50% based on the previous year, but they achieved 65%. The request comes on a head-up basis. In terms of investment analysis, the previous year was 80%, so we set the target at 80% in terms of annual requests. We received 76% project-related investment analysis, which we completed. In terms of our valuation portfolio, the target was 80% of immovable assets. Here, we haven't agreed on a model in terms of valuation with National Treasury in the process. So we use 1 rand plus improvements, and that was achieved as per the accounting approval with the Accountant General. In terms of market valuation approval, and this is for any disposal or new acquisition, we complete a market valuation. We achieved 86% of all requests that came through, and then the rest would be spillovers to this year. We will put in an improvement in this particular section in terms of negotiating with local authorities on municipal valuations for completion of a calendar tracking for all municipal valuations, and the calendar tracking for municipal valuations was compiled. But we would need more resources in this regard to ensure its continuity. 50% annual municipal valuation calendar has been appraised and negotiated. In this particular sense, we look at the rates, et cetera, that we are required to pay with municipalities, and prior to us paying, we assess whether this is fair and reasonable before payment is actually effected to municipalities. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, my presentation will cover the infrastructure program, which within this the program is three characteristics: looking at the inner city regeneration, management of construction projects, as well as facilities management throughout the regional offices. The slide on board, the slide number 17, talks about an efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network. Through the inner city regeneration programs, as well as a project management support, one of the targets is a continuous review of the norms of design, as well as update of contract documentation in line with the CIDB, which is Construction Industry Development Board initiative and improvements. We have achieved all we wanted to do in that financial year, which covers among the update on a Dolomite standard, update on a project management form. In terms of a program to revitalize the cities, at the beginning of the year under review, we had a plan to do feasibility studies at 5 areas, which is Umtata, Mujaji, Kokstad, Montfrey, as well as City of Tswane. In the 4 areas being Umtata, Mujaji, Kokstad, Montfrey, we completed what we called a IDP study, whereby we investigated the growth of the city in terms of infrastructure. So that as part of inner city rejuvenation, we can also play a part to establish national government accommodation facilities. However, due to limited resources, we had to only do the desktop and then restrict our focus at the city of Tswane. Within the city of Tswane, we are in partnership with the city of Tswane to construct the national government precinct, which shall include Salvakop, Marabastad, which shall further include a church square, whereby the intention is to group a specific national government together in order to in line with the public transport initiative. We further under this program carried the construction of various buildings, which is capital as well as planned maintenance. In terms of capital, under the head office program, we achieved 79%, which includes the completion of 72 capital projects within the country as well as outside the country. We further concluded 75% of planned maintenance projects. In terms of special projects or special programs, we had in our books the Pan-African Parliament, which was scheduled to start and be completed in the year 2012. Unfortunately, when we started with construction, it was discovered that the site identified had a wetland whereby the process of construction had to be suspended in order to rehabilitate and start from the fresh the environmental impact assessment processes. That process is continuing within this financial year. In terms of 2010, we were responsible for project management responsibility on behalf of Department of Sports. In terms of 2010 stadiums, we completed our task and handed over the final report to the Department of Sports. In terms of border post, we completed Golela infrastructure in terms of the main border post. At the moment, we are busy with the residential complex. We completed Lebombo emergency project. In terms of scale part, we are at 65%. The project is continuing in this financial year. In the regional offices, we further carry capital project as well as a maintenance project. 92% of our target was completed in terms of capital and 100% in terms of planned maintenance. We also manage on behalf of the client's department some lease accommodation contracts. In the year under review, we had a total of 3,029 leases, which were in different stages. Those which were about to expire in 18 months, those who were terminated for various reasons, one being if the clients want to relocate to new buildings. In terms of facilities management, we are responsible to do cleaning services as well as horticulture on behalf of Department of Justice. We completed 593 contracts or services. In terms of day-to-day maintenance, which is unplanned attention to breakdowns or emergency services, we completed 25,000 day-to-day calls. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
We could perhaps move to slide 34. Yes. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Mine is a reflection on the Expanded Public Works Programme and the overall target for Phase 2 of the Expanded Public Works Programme is the creation of 4.5 million work opportunities. The target for the year under review was to create 800 2,000 work opportunities. And when the by the time that the report was due, we have reported 6,955 work opportunities at the, and that amounted to almost 98% of the target. The you will notice that the reason for the deviation there was that validation of work opportunities was still underway at the time, and the eventual figure reported against the target of 642,000 was actually 643,100, but that was after the data for the report had to be submitted already. The second output for the Expand Public Works program was with regard to the overall participation targets for designated groups. And the target, the designated groups are women, youth and people with disabilities, and the targets are 45%, 40% and 2% respectively. We have reported for the year under review 62% for women participants, 31% for youth, and 0.45% or almost 0.5% for people with disabilities. And you will see that the program has overperformed in terms of the in terms of women and youth, but obviously underperformed in terms of the target set for people with disabilities. And the reason for the underperformance lies in the nature of projects, and often it's difficult given the nature of, for instance, infrastructure projects where projects simply could not employ people with disabilities. The third output that we would like to report on was with regard to the wage incentive disbursed. In phase two, we have introduced a wage incentive, and the wage incentive introduced was a performance-based incentive, which means implementing bodies or those eligible for the wage incentive had to report against, had to report to the National Department of Public Works, and the data would then be validated before provincial departments and municipalities could draw down against the indicative allocations published in the division of in the schedules to the Division of Revenue Act. The target was to disperse at least 5% of the wage incentive, and the program only dispersed 59% of the target. And the reason for that was that public bodies often underreported on the Expanded Public Works program, and we have found also that many programs or many projects rather were not implemented very intensively, with the result that fewer work opportunities were created. Since then, the department has reviewed the wage incentive model, and so a new model will be introduced in the next financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. And honourable members, on construction and property policy regulation, as the members know, we have been implementing GIAMA. From the policy side, we are expected to develop guidelines, and which is one of the key objectives of GIAMA, to set guidelines on immovable asset management. We set ourselves initially to start the development of the following guidelines, the planning.
We requested that we must use acronyms. Well, continuously people are using acronyms. Yes, I agree. I don't undermine the integrity of the members. They know exactly. But just to remind ourselves that in turn we begin to ask questions so that we can move in the same path.
I'm so sorry to
Government Immovable Asset Management Act requires that we set guidelines for to guide the spheres of government in the implementation of the Act. We set ourselves to start the development of the following guidelines, that is planning, acquisition, maintenance, disposal, outdoor advertising, leasing and letting of properties for commercial purposes and demolition. We, in actual fact, started and finished the following guidelines, the disposal, the outdoor letting and demolition during the year under review, which is 50% of what we set ourselves to achieve. The rest of the policies will be, in fact, have been started this year, but for the year under review, we finished, completed those. The members will also remember that the Act existence is applicable to only national and provincial government spheres. We were expected by the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee to extend the application of the Act to local government. We have engaged the Department of Provincial and Local Government to change or amend their existing legislation to make them applicable, to make this Government Immovable Asset Management Act applicable to them. So the idea was that we are not going to come with a new Act, we will assist them to amend their Act. We did that, we went extensively in guiding them and even phrasing the certain changes in the Act. The members of the Portfolio Committee, they instructed us to check whether there are no other options of extending the principles of Government Immovable Asset Management Act. Either by doing a new Act altogether or making amendments to the existing Act. We thought we would use local government acts, but they said we must look at whether we can make a new Act or amend our existing Act. What we have done, because we want the best option, we are exploring this. Where we are now is that we have made a submission to the state law advisors to advise us of the best option. And obviously, we will be engaging the minister, because I think this is more of a political requirement than anything. We will make sure that the principles of GIAMA, they are applicable to local government. But, you know, the political executive will have to direct us, want the best advice in terms of pros and cons from the state law advisors. That's what we are waiting for now. That is on the extension of GIAMA. The honorable members will remember again we had the built environment legislation that we are reviewing, as well as expropriation and also establishing AGRIMA SA as a juristic person. You will also remember, honorable members, that we went all the way throughout the process, both on expropriation and on built environment, until we made submissions to the NCOP, especially on the last one was the built environment. It was withdrawn because there was a requirement for further consultation. We will come back with the members after we have briefed the minister with a realistic timeline to say when we are going to submit to cabinet to do the proper consultation, for instance, on expropriation to NEDLAG, and back to Parliament. So we're working on that. We've got all our policy positions ready. We will brief the executive authority and restart the process.
on Agrima SA, we have developed the business plan as we are required for the establishment of an entity. We have to submit a business plan to Treasury. We've got the business plan. It's going through the internal processes for the purpose of submission to National Treasury. So we will be reporting back to the members. Hopefully, this legislation will be moving closer to submission to Parliament. The charters, I think we've briefed the members on a number of occasions on charters during the year under review. The honourable members will remember that the construction charter was gazetted as Section 9 by Department of Trade and Industry. Processes are underway to implement that. The one that was left behind was the property charter. Ourselves, as well as the stakeholders, we have made a submission, which is a normal process. We have made a submission to the Minister of Trade and Industry. What is left now, there are internal consultation, both from our side as well as the Department of Trade and Industry. It will be the signing off once the Minister of Trade and Industry is happy, will be the signing off by the Minister of Trade and Industry, and therefore gazette the property charter as a Section 9. Section 9 gazetting means that it will be compulsory both to public and private sector. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm going to take you through the financial performance of the department for the year ended 31st March 2011. I'm going to start with the GPW. In terms of the performance of the department, according to economic classification, the department was allocated a budget of 7.3 billion, out of which 6.6 billion was spent, representing a 90% expenditure. Looking into the various economic classification lines, under compensation of employees, the department spent 98%, showing under expenditure of 23 million. Under goods and services, we spent 92%, with the under expenditure of 63.9 million. And transfers and subsidies, we spent 87% with under expenditure of 485 million. Payments for capital assets, we spent 88% with under expenditure of 172 million, in total coming to 749 million. The next slide, I'll explain the reasons for the underspending in the third slide. The second slide is merely to show the expenditure per program. In terms of program one, we have spent 100% of the budget, which is consistent with the previous year. Program two, we spent 96%. The previous year was 95%. Under program three, which is our expanded public works program, we spent 65%. And when I explain, then you realize that the reason for the low expenditure is related to the slow uptake on the incentive grant. Program 4, property construction and industry, we spent 72%. And Program 5, which is our auxiliary and associated services, we spent 98%. In terms of the analysis of the expenditure, the 23 million under expenditure under the compensation of employees is largely attributable to the funds that were reprioritized for the filling of vacant posts. During the third quarter of the financial year, the department commenced with a high recruitment drive aimed at filling all the funded vacant posts. The lag between the interviews, appointment letters, and the assumption of duty usually averages 2 months. Consequently, for some of the appointments made in February and March, assumptions of duty took place in the new financial year. Under goods and services, we showed underspending of 63.9 million, which related to commitments that were already made under the energy efficiency program with the Independent Development Trust, which is an entity of the department. We requested a rollover amount of 40.9 million, which unfortunately was not approved by Treasury. Capital and infrastructure. We showed an underspending of 120 million,
This was also funds that were committed through our collaboration with Independent Development Trust as our implementing agent for the transformation of the MAD schools. A rollover amount was requested at the end of the financial year, but I can report that it was not approved because of the underspending under the infrastructure. Machinery and equipment underspending of 56.5 million, which largely related to furniture and information technology equipment that we had planned for our new building. According to our initial plans, we had planned to move into this new building before the end of the financial year, but due to some incomplete, some of the construction work that, and the interior design that still had to be done, the move was deferred to the current financial year. Transfers and subsidies, the underspending of 485.5 million by our expanded public works program is largely attributable to the slow reporting of EPWP work opportunities created by municipalities and provinces. Payments for financial assets, expenditure of 54.8 million relates to amounts written off against savings from the current payment. Chair, we also made vehement during the year under review. Under Program 1, Program 1 was increased by 50 million to offset overspending in goods and services, transfers, and capital payments. Program 2 was increased by 4.2 million to offset current payments, goods and services. The amount of 4.2 million was the net effect of the 13.8 million vehement of current payments from Program 3 and 9.8 million to Program 1 and 3 for machinery and equipment and vehement from Program 5 for transfers and subsidies. Program 3 was reduced by 63.3 million to offset goods and services in Program 1 and 2 and transfers and subsidies in Program 4. The 63.3 million is the net effect of current payments of 55.4 million, 8.9 million of transfers and subsidies to Program 1 and 5 for current payments and Program 4 for transfers and subsidies. And the 1 million vehement was made for machinery and equipment from Program 2. Program 4 was increased by 8.9 million to offset overspending under transfers and subsidies. Program 5 was reduced by 51,000 to offset overspending of transfers and subsidies in Program 1 and 2. The 51,000 is the net effect of the 2.17 million for current payments from Program 2 and 2.68 million in Program 1 and 2. In terms of the DPW audit report, the department received a disclaimer after 5 years of receiving qualifications. The main contributing factor to the disclaimer is the immovable asset register, which the auditors expressed a disclaimer that they cannot give an opinion on the completeness, rise and existence and valuations of our asset register. In responding to the issues as they were raised by the AG, we explained that as a department, after realizing that we have been receiving these issues around the asset register, which included the fact that we are using the what we call Property Management Information System, PMIS, for registering our properties. We also use a work control system, which we call WCS, which is a system that we use to manage our projects. The expenditure that is reflected under WCS, the work control system, is not transferred to the asset register, which is the PMIS. And therefore, when you go to the asset register, you can't find the amount. You can only see the list of properties that we have, but you are not able to attach the amount spent on those properties. We therefore downloaded all construction projects which were completed between 1st April 1999 to March 2011 from the system, and we did for all the purchases that were acquired for the same period. This information was captured on an Excel template. It was the first initiative for us to reconcile what we do on the works control system and what is on the PMIS. At the same time, the regions continue to populate information on vested properties and also correcting the title deeds, numbers, earth numbers, and all the information that was missing in the asset register. The exercise was completed after submission of the annual financial statements, including the population of information gathered into the PMIS. This led to the challenges of providing reconciliations to the AG and also validating the information captured by the region. Just to mention that this was the first attempt by the department to try and unpack the information that was in the asset register, including updating the information on the properties that were vested and putting together all the files for all the title deeds that were available. Therefore, it was not possible for us to provide a credible asset register by the end of the financial year, given the fact that the regions were also having issues around capacity. We have now appointed a service provider who is assisting the department in conducting a more comprehensive analysis of the register. There is a separate report that has been attached in terms of progress made on the data mining that we have done now, the gaps that we have identified, and how we are reconciling within the various registers from deeds, parkland, and including the registers of the provincial public works. The second issue was the irregular expenditure of 17.9 million, where the AG was saying payments amounting to 16.5 were made in contravention of the supply chain management requirements. While the department agreed with some of the findings, there are a number of cases where we are not in agreement with the findings of the AG. Over time now, we have done an analysis of the irregular expenditure. We have been in a position to be able to say, out of the 17.9 million that is reported by the AG, some of the issues raised were not irregular in their nature. It was more non-compliance issues with the policies, but not irregular. So we have separated the cases, analyzed the information such that we are now in a position to can be able to say certain things must be condoned, others, certain people must be held accountable for the irregularities that was discovered. The bigger portion of the irregular expenditure reported relates to three quotations not solved. In some instances, there would have been tax clearance, copies of tax clearance, not the original tax clearance certificate, or where a person was not delegated to approve a particular document had approved, or we also had limitation of scope, where the auditor, if you can't give them the documents, obviously they will come up with a disclaimer because they can't provide an opinion. The bigger part of the limitation of scope was attributable to the documents that are currently with the SIU that the department could not provide to the AG. The 154 million recorded there as other expenditure relating to the disclaimer. It's the documents that were not in our possession and we were not able to obtain them or get them back from the SIU. Therefore, the AG then translated that into the entire goods and services of the department, which is 819 million, to say because they can't get these documents amounting to 154 million, therefore they are disclaiming the entire goods and services budget and the entire capital budget of the department. The other issue that led to the disclaimer was that the lease commitments, which were completed very late after we had submitted the financial statements. This one was an internal error that we dealt with internally because it's something that should not have happened. Under normal circumstances, if the audit was smooth, this is something that we could have resolved before the issuing of the audit report. But then we were not allowed to correct what was on the financial statements. The other issue was the contingent liabilities and assets, where it was the first time that we were expected to assess the litigation cases as they are reported in the department. What we used to do as a normal process, when legal services gets any claim against the department, they would prepare a schedule. That schedule we then use to populate our amounts for on contingent liabilities. Now we have since met with the legal services to arrange a system that will enable all the litigation cases to be assessed by an independent attorney for us to be able to say if the claim is for 10 million, is it really 10 million or is it 5 million? Are there any chances of department winning the case or losing the case before we can disclose in the financial statement? Obviously, it will require additional resources, as the state attorney won't be able to assess all the cases that we have in the department and throughout government. We have finalized the policy in this regard in terms of how we are going to assess all the cases, how we are going to interact with legal services to ensure completeness. I think one of the compounding issues was the fact that the information that was provided to the AG was found to be incomplete, as there were other cases that were discovered in the regions after the reporting was done. What happens is that we've got legal services units in the regions, and then we've got at head office. The information flows from regions to head office, and it gets consolidated at head office level. Unfortunately, in terms of completeness, some of the regions did not forward the information to head office. Therefore, it created issues of completeness, as not all the information were reported. We also had to separate between DPW and our property management trading entity so that there is no confusion. We can report these cases separately. This is a matter that we have already addressed even in our interim financial statements. PPP was another one, public-private partnership. The Pakisa contract that we have on the fleet that we are using, the contract is with the Department of Transport. So over the years, we have been reporting under operating lease because the contract was not with the department. Treasury came up with a new treatment where, because it's a public-private partnership under the Department of Transport, we must also disclose it as a public-private partnership in our books. What we disclose the cost, but not the interest part of the PPP. And this is something that we have already dealt with internally. Material, there were emphasis of matter relating to material losses of about 2.3 million. In a number of cases of this nature, we were trying to correct previous accounting or previous transactions that have been in our books forever that we could not clear because of either the documents are not there or the documents are there, but some of the information is missing. We then engaged the AG to agree to write off these warrant vouchers that were issued between the period of 1996 to 1999, as it was clearly impractical that we can still pursue these matters and get to the responsible people who were paid then amounts in this regard. We also wrote off 48.2 million, which also related to a lot of transactions that happened between 1999 and 2004. As the departments were migrating from the old FMS system to the BAS system, some of the balances with the migration were not cleared. And at this stage, it was not possible for us to say, is this a claim that is valid? Is it a transaction that is valid? Can it be supported by enough documentation? This account was reconciled by the department, it was reconciled by consultants that were contracted, and we all came to a conclusion that the balance of what we could not reconcile, which is this 48.2 million, will have to be written off. The AG also agreed with us. The only thing is that they had to report it on their annual report, even though they could understand the extent of the problem. We also had other legal and regulatory requirements on the performance information that we reported in the annual report, where the AG raised issues of consistency, measurability, validity, accuracy, and completeness of the information that we have reported in the annual report. We have acknowledged all the issues that have been raised by the AG, and that is why with the process that is unfolding now with our strategic plan and our annual performance plans, we are subjecting them to serious tests to make sure that whatever targets that we are setting now can be measured, can be valid, and we can provide evidence on the performance as it gets reported. We are also looking at refocusing and capacitating the MNE to begin to assist the department in measuring performance effectively in a manner that can demonstrate the impact of what we are doing. We've also improved quarterly reporting and made sure that managers take accountability and responsibility on the information that they provide. We have also roped in our internal audit to audit the performance information during the year so that by the time the audit, the final external audit comes into the department, then we can get that comfort to say we have closed the gaps in terms of some of the things that we said we are going to do and we could not do, or some of the things that were not properly articulated so that they can be evaluated without a contradiction. Chair, we also have an entity in the department called Property Management Trading Entity, that is the PMTB. The Property Management Entity is an entity that was established by the department around 2006. Unfortunately, to date, the business case has not been finalized in the department, even though the entity is operating its own set of books. The entity is managing the core business of the department, which would be property management, construction, maintenance of our buildings. All those activities in terms of transactions, even though they are done in the department, the transactions are counted for under this entity. Looking at the statement of financial position, this entity, you notice that we report differently here because we have to comply with GAAP. Statement of financial position, which would normally be the balance sheet, we have trade and under current assets, we've got trade and other receivables for the year under review 2011, amounting to 2 billion. Previous year, it was 2.2 billion, and 2009, it was 2 billion, with an accumulated loss for the year of 404 million. Under current liabilities, we have trade and other payables of 1.1 billion and a bank overdraft of 1.2 billion. This is a bank overdraft that actually led to one of the disclaimers, as in terms of GAAP, the fact that we are running an overdraft of 1.2 billion begins to question the going concern of this entity. Note 3, we have under trade and other receivables, what I've done is to try and unpack these amounts so that we can be able to get a sense of what makes the totals as they are reflected up there. Trade and other receivables is largely claims recoverable from the PACE, which is our Project Accelerated Capital Expenditure. It is basically the devolved capital budget that is sitting with the client departments, where we annually enter into agreement on projects that we implement on behalf of clients. Current assets is it's the capital that is created by the client departments. They use the department to implement projects. We then have disallowances and any disputes. Some of them relate to these major cases where floods and other activities that are beyond our control that affect our buildings. We also have under disallowances contractors who could not complete the job and we had to put in new contractors on board. We report them under disallowances. We have debtors under the operating lease. Accommodation state-owned, accommodation private-owned, we issue it under trade receivables. Municipalities, the amounts, the departments that owe us for payments on municipalities, and we provide in terms of GAAP impairments, any debts that we have assessed and we believe that they may not be recoverable. The statement of comprehensive income represents the normal income statement. In terms of revenue, we have managed to raise 4.7 billion. Other income from bank charges and other payments being 123 million, giving us a total revenue of 4.8 billion. This 4.8 billion is applied on other expenses, which came to 392 million, impairment, we reversed impairments. This would be the previous year's impairment that is reversed. Guardian and services, which we provide to justice and other departments, amounting to 67 million. Cleaning and services, 129 on our buildings. Property maintenance, 812, and lease rentals on operating leases. These are the payments that we make on our private leases and municipal rates and taxes. The expenditures amounting to 4.9 billion, leaving us with a loss of 41 million for the year under review. Comparatively speaking to the previous year, our loss was 174 million, and we have managed to at least recover and reduce it to almost 41 million for the year under review. Unpacking the income statement further, note 8 on the revenue, we show how revenue is made up, emanating from state-owned assets, from private leases, from the augmentation budget, which is the money that we get as an appropriation from Treasury for the implementation of the or operationalization of this property management entity, and the management fee, which is the 5% that we collect for providing services to the provincial public works on the payment, on the payment, not provincial public works only, but client departments on the payment of municipal services. Included in the amount of revenue is the income collected from immovable properties which are disclosed under the Department of Public Works. Under GAAP compliance issues, we have to bring in this statement because we have the assets sitting under DPW. Therefore, we need to put a note there that shows how this income is generated under the PMTE because we don't have these assets under the PMTE. In terms of the audit report, we also received a disclaimer the previous year, having received a qualification which unfortunately shows a regression in terms of improving our financial management. The first issue that led to the disclaimer was the irregular expenditure, where the AG reported 291 million. Which were made in contravention with supply chain management requirements. The amount was not included in irregular expenditure disclosed in Note 12 of the financial statement, as this is the amount that was discovered by the AG. What we disclosed was what we discovered as a department proactively. The reason for not disclosing this is because we, in a number of cases, we were in disagreement with the analysis of the expenditure, particularly under the PMTE. We then agreed that we are going to analyze all the information so that we can institute disciplinary measures and also address the root cause of the irregular expenditure. Under the PMTE, the amounts would be huge because this is where we are running projects and property management. If one project is about 300 million and the AG discovers that the tax clearance certificate is not, or they are not able to access the tax clearance certificate, they will report it as irregular. It doesn't mean the 291 was spent unlawfully or it was money we did not realize any benefit, but it could be they could not get a tax clearance certificate, or the wrong person signed the variation order, or maybe we were supposed to go out on open tender. Instead, we went on the nominated or on the quotation route. The amounts will always be huge under the PMTE. What came out even more clear in this area was the SBD 11, where the SBD 4, which we call PA 11, if the service provider did not complete the PA 11, which forces the service provider to disclose their related parties or any conflict of interest. That was also reported as irregular. We have broken down the irregular expenditure so that we can get at least a picture of the contributing factors.
Sorry. From the department, we wanted to request that can't we have an assisting to try to summarize so that we can give members ample time to debate about what you are presenting to us. because I was taking time, and also to request once more to the members that, to remind, in fact, the members that we today are request us, because there are a lot of, what is it, study groups. They will be transported 6. Let us be patient. But I'm appealing to the department maybe to try to summarize.
Thank you, Chair. On fruitless expenditure, we incurred 6.7 million. This was largely attributable to interest paid on municipal services accounts which were overdue, and on the lease portfolio, where clients would, in most cases, when this situation arises, where they have vacated the building before the contract could come to an end. The other issues related to the technical side of the GAAP compliance, where we had to comply with the international accounting standards, and given the fact that the PMTE is managed on a manual basis, it was not possible to apply all the accounting standards as expected. I think in terms of the PMTE, on the rest was more to give progress and update on what we have done to date. I think the next report is on the asset register challenges. Currently, what we are doing to address the asset register.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, I'll be brief. As the CFO alluded to, we had an audit disclaimer relevant to the asset register. We subsequently appointed a program manager to assist us in terms of to address the management assertions to ensure that the existence, completeness, rights and obligations, accuracy, valuation, and how we present the disclosure information that we receive assistance on. Further, the program manager will assist us to appoint a secondary service provider that will assist us to basically physically verify all our assets and as well as to expedite the vesting process. Further, they will assist us to oversee the amnesty initiative and advise us on future systems that will be more appropriate in our environment. I'll move on to the next slide. It's just a diagrammatical representation on how the reconciliation process is taking place at the moment. DPW is required to have a consolidated, accurate asset register, and the consolidation requires to take place not only with DPW's asset register between head offices and our regions, but it has to be aligned to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform's asset register, the provincial asset register, and the national and provincial vesting list. To do all of this in terms of and to ensure that there's verification, we have to match this against the deeds office, what's available in the deeds office, and in terms of their system, which is the PubLand database. And this process is currently being undertaken, like I indicated, with the assistance of the program manager. For the vesting process, and just to give an indication of where provinces are at the moment, the Eastern Cape, they've not vested over 6,400 properties. The Free States are to vest another 1,547 properties. Gauteng has to vest a further 7,600 properties. KwaZulu-Natal are outstanding with 10,462 properties to be vested. Limpopo, over 2,478 properties. Mpumalanga, 4,506 properties. Northwest, 3,760 properties. Northern Cape, 1,355 properties. And Western Cape, 3,653 properties. The vested properties are indicated on the left-hand side. Now, most of the provinces have also appointed service providers to assist with the completeness of their asset register, as well as the vesting process, because I think we've all discovered that this is a huge, huge task, and the magnitude in terms of what we're dealing with requires further resources. The next slide, I'm not going to go, this is just gap one, and this is work in progress in terms of what we've discerned thus far in terms of matching the various databases and aligning back to Department of Rural Development and Land Reform's database. But I think what is interesting is that we're getting a sense of what the total state land portfolio is at this stage. And Department of Rural Development and Land Reform are also undertaking a verification process. So all of these figures are subject to verification, and this will be done over the next period of 2 years. But currently, they are indicating that there's just over 1,407,000 properties. Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, they've got over 20,000 properties registered on there as a custodian, them being a custodian rather. Provincial DPW is just over 84,000, and the remainder thereof then would then be termed national, which is 43,448 at this particular stage. Now, if we just move on, because like I said, this is work in progress. I'm also going to skip gap one because I think I've covered that sufficiently in my intro, etc. The devolved properties, we devolved properties to the provinces in 2005-2006, and this was just over 39,408, like I indicated earlier on. These were accordingly removed from the DPW Immovable Asset Register. Now, what is interesting to note here in terms of the audit qualification and the expectation from DPW is that we've got to comply to the existing sector-specific guideline that requires DPW to disclose all assets that is not disclosed by provinces. Now, we've had engagement with the Accountant General to indicate that there's a bit of unfairness relevant to this, because if the provinces are using a property and we've accordingly devolved based on the fact that they're using the property, then they should accordingly disclose. So the Accountant General is looking at reviewing this decision, but that's pending. The program progress, if you can go on to the next slide, Adam, please. I'm going to skip that. That is just a process slide. And then in terms of gap two, we've got to align to GIAMA. And to align to GIAMA, we've got to include, as part of the secondary service provider that's coming on board, to do a performance measurement, utilization investigation, condition assessment, very high-level condition assessment on each of our property, and determine the heritage status. All of this will be on a high level, but there'll be physical verification of all our properties. Thank you. Human settlements. The information we're providing is just for over 2 years. We've released properties as follows. Gauteng, for Johannesburg, we've released over 754 hectares of property to the city of Johannesburg. In the Northern Cape, we've released four hectares. And we've also released another 776 hectares to the Kai Karib municipality in the Northern Cape. Can move on. Also in the Northern Cape, we've released 40 hectares to the Breed Valley municipality, 30 hectares to Khatlofo, excuse my pronunciation, 30 hectares. And in the Northwest Province, we released a further 77 hectares. Also in the Northern Province, or Northern Cape Province, we released 40 hectares to the Breed Valley Municipality. In the Western Cape, we've released 11 hectares to the Stellenbosch Municipality, in the famous Lamotte Arf. The Northern Province is 77 hectares. I think that's a bit of a duplication here, but anyway. The Eastern Cape, we released to the Makana municipality 161 hectares, a further 271 hectares to the Buffalo municipality. To Gauteng, we released 316 hectares for human settlements. The Western Cape, we released 121 hectares to the city of Cape Town, a further 206 hectares to Overberg municipality, a further 306 hectares to the city of Cape Town, totaling 134 hectares. Now, very quickly here,
is it by omission or by mistake? You said here it's 2.6 hectares, but you said 200 and something. The other one is 3.6, you said 300 and something.
Sorry, Chairperson, which one is that? Overberg.
Overberg in the city of Cape Town.
Okay. No, it's on the next slide. Yeah, no, sorry, it's on the next slide. I'm going on to the next one.
No, it's not that one. It's on that slide.
No, those are 128. I'll verify that, Chairperson, but it couldn't be 128,000 hectares. I'm sure it's 1.28, but I'll verify that. That will be far too much here than the others as well. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's quite extensive. Yes, I just wanted to mention that we also do have a list from Department of Human Settlements needs to be processed. That list totals 134 hectares. It's various properties that I won't go through. It's in process at the moment with the department. But further than that, there's 9.93 hectares of land that has come through by HDA, and they're busy with development proposals. That's just a request that hasn't been processed further.
Right. Is that all?
Yes, thank you.
Deputy Director, that will be all this. Okay. All right. Let me start by saying thank you for the annual report. But nevertheless, let the members start maybe to prepare themselves to ask questions. But before I allow them, you see, Deputy DG, from your own report, I was a little bit concerned, you know, about one or two things, but I'm still coming with the questions. Yes, I'll give you a chance to give you opportunity now. When you said that you, in terms of in page 7 in your own presentation, you spoke about the Mpumalanga Magistrate Court in Nkangala. I don't know whether are you aware that Nkangala doesn't belong to Mpumalanga, it belongs to Gauteng. Here are the people from Gauteng. You see, I'm a little bit disturbed on that news, so serious on a serious note. Yeah? Because it means that you've done nothing in Mpumalanga. And then also, you were saying, okay, let me leave it to them. They were in slide number 6. I'm not clear whether it's Mutu River Crossing or Mutu. Is that in Western Cape, in Eastern Cape?
No.
Sorry? Is it where? Mutu. Okay, I'll leave it. They will come from Eastern Cape because we do have people from Western Cape. Because I thought it was a mistake or a spelling mistake because we know we're pinning Mutu, where we saw a lot of mistakes with bridges, whatever. Shame and disgrace where you still find a place with a bridge with a robot. Sometimes the robot doesn't work and the bridge is small. And there's huge traffic coming there. It's well towards December time. But nevertheless, I was just highlighting that I wanted to request members, I don't know which criteria I'm going to use, because I know that you've prepared yourself in terms of this. But the court, the ball is in your court. Let me open for members to start ask questions. Members, this is an opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Groenewald, Honourable Member Groenewald, Honourable followed by Honourable Member Mlenzane. Any head? Okay, I'll come. I'll be the last.
Thank you, Member Chairperson. I think we can ask
Mama Temba and Mama from Gauteng. Uchetri, Jacqueline. Honourable Member Jacqueline. Yes, you can.
Thank you, Chair. I think we can ask questions after tomorrow. If you listen to the presentation, thank you very much for the presentation. I've got a feeling that you try very hard to see that the department is getting into the right way, but there's still a lot of work to be done in your department. Someone was leaving you with a lot of headaches, and I believe, and we can hear it, that you really, really try. And the first thing is, from my side, on the chairperson, is discipline. When I'm listening to you, the feedback you've got from several and different provinces is not always on time. And I believe that is the duty of your department to crack the whip. And you must force the people in the different provinces to send you the information, because we want the information to see what is the progress in your department. Otherwise, we sit with a lot of questions and you can't answer it because you haven't got the information. I feel very strong that you get all the departments in the provinces together and crack the whip. There's no other way to get the department into the right direction. If we still leave the people that they're continuing, and especially in my province, the Northwest province, there's a lot of things going wrong in that province. And I want action from the department side, from national side, into my province. Otherwise, we are going totally in the wrong direction. Thousands and millions of rand are spent in that province, and there's a lot of corruption in public works, and nothing happens in that province. And I will give you an example of that when I'm carrying on with my questions. I want to know what is the meaning of rural cities. Rural cities, if you want to establish rural cities in our rural areas, we must have investment in that area. And at this stage, there's no investment in our rural areas. And I'm very worried about it, and I think we talk a lot of it in the past, and we ask questions about it. What are the department going to do to see that we get investment and that we can keep the people of South Africa in our rural areas? Because each and everyone is talking into our urban areas, and it is overcrowding, and we haven't got all the things to accommodate. We haven't got the land, we haven't got houses, we haven't got a lot of things, water, in our urban areas to accommodate all these people. So I think that the department got a hell of a task to see that we keep our people in urban.
In
to keep our people in the rural areas. Sorry, but I think the department doesn't know what I'm meaning. Modus Kotane, that is also, that was part of the old Bobota Tswana. It is close to Pretoria. There is an industrial site. It cost millions of rand. All that building is empty. Nothing happened there in that area. And I want you to go and invest by yourself and see what is going on there. That is a whole town. It is factories out on factories standing there. Nothing is going on there. I think we must go and have an oversight visit from the department side as well to see what is going on in these areas. In Swaziland, Reneka, a year and a half, I asked a question with our budget speeches. There's a magistrate court was being busy building in that area. And they promised me, the department promised me, in a few months from now,
it will be completed. It is a year and a half later, and it's still standing like that. Nothing, and now it is this contractor and that contractor. It doesn't make sense. You must crack the whip, and you must take action in these cases. Nerefong City, 500 million, that is the biggest investment and development that's taking place in Nerefong City of houses. They want to move a whole community, Nerefong City, from one place to another place because of the dolomite we've got there. And at this stage, that is also in 2008, they started with this project.
Sorry. I think you are mistaken. That falls under human settlement, Nerefong City.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay, then I will leave it, Chair. But I think the Department of got also a hand in that. And I wondered how many state buildings are uncompleted in each and every province at this stage. There's a lot of buildings is been busy built, but that is uncompleted and it is stopped with it because there was a tender fraud and all that kind of thing. How many are there in South Africa, and then we can break it down to the provinces. I've got so lot of questions. I do not know where to start and where to
colleagues, those who will follow, what I will suggest that because of time factor, so that we can give you an ample time. Let us not comment. Just go to the questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the report. Acting DJ. I am Chairperson. I have questions which I am deliberately not going to ask because I know you are capable. The one on the asset register, I am not going to ask deliberately. I did a lot last year, but no change. Also on job creation, I am not going to ask. Page 14 of the annual report, acting DJ, we unfortunately represent provinces, and I am from the Eastern Cape. When you say you have renovated and repaired Home Affairs, Justice, and Royal or Great Place, which of the many great places in the Eastern Cape, which is that one? I know the area at Emalahleni, which you were talking about. And I think that slide is correctly put. Chair. Chair, with the other question which I am not going to ask, which I'll just ask, on the inner city regeneration project management and professional services, what one would just like to know, Acting DG, how involved are the affected municipalities? Particularly the three mentioned there, Greater Kokstad Municipality, where you are talking Kokstad, the KFD, where you are talking Umtata, Umrimvubu Local Municipality, where you are talking Mongfa. Can we be favored with this desktop exercise that you are talking about? Because we are counting weeks now before we go to do our last round of oversight. Chair, on human resources, I just want to ask Acting DG, do you have a retention strategy in your department? I just listed, Chair, just one aspect I've picked on engineers. Just engineers. If you look at table 3.3, that is page 193,
third chairperson, you have 112 vacancies out of 347 posts.
I have deliberately put it this way, Acting DG, because I could read that you have prepared for us
the next part of it. You haven't given us the vacancies, and I suspect it's deliberate. Hence, I had to turn it around.
If you go to table 5.2, page 196, you have absorbed only 23
engineers.
And to the contrary, you lost 44. I'm just talking engineers. If you go to table 5.4, still on page 196, out of 190, you promoted only 5.
Remember, my question is, do you have a retention strategy?
Are you enticing your people to stay within the department? If you go to table 7.3, page 200, out of 178, only 6. Out of 178, only 6. 6.
Benefited from your performance reward.
Now, what does that say? I could not comment on your disciplinary actions because I find table 5.3 in page 196 contradicting table 11.2. I am not sure how many actually employees did you dismiss. Did you dismiss 7 or 6? Here on EPWP, also here, I'm not going to dwell much on EPWP. Here, if you go to page 23 of the annual report, You will notice that the disinvestment of incentives to provinces and municipalities creates, you know, one to have concerns. Of the allocated 301 million for EPWP infrastructure incentive to provinces, only 56%, or 182.4 million, was disbursed. Also, if you look at your EPWP infrastructure incentive to municipalities, also there's lower uptake, and the reason there would be you do not get feedback from provinces and municipalities. Now, one then, Jefferson, would want to know, what strategy? Remember also, it was during the time of the Honorable Jeff Doyle. We were not even aware of this. You as the department came to us with this and we ran with it to provinces and municipalities. But there's money if you do work and report. Now, since then, what is the strategy that the department is employing to ensure that the required number of work opportunities are actually created to EPWP? Also, because one of the reasons that you are saying is a problem, is this question of projects which are not designed to be EPWP compliant. We have been asking this, and then you said you make provinces apply and municipalities apply. They indicate as to how. We were asking, how do you see to it that, in actual fact,
this is happening. But now you're telling us that is a challenge. Now, how then do you force them that they develop these labor incentive or labor compliant EPWP programs? On your equity imperative, Dr. DG, throughout phase one, you have struggled to meet the 2%. Now, what measures are in place to see to it that this thing is changed? Because you have to just say, we are somewhere there, but you don't at the end of the day come up with strategies to implement. Lastly, Chair, when the President was doing his State of National Address in 2010, he listed one of the government strategic priorities as the eradication of corruption in procurement, particularly, and tender processes. Now, one would like to check with the FTPG. How far is the department from realizing this goal? I am asking this, Chair, because if you look at 0.789 on the report on financial statement by the Auditor General, that's page 75, you will notice which one can not correctly so, but allege that there was actually refusal by the department to report on the contravention of the supply chain management system. Because it is not understood and cannot be accepted, DG, that you're going to behave as if you have it's these who have a federal arrangement. But government does not have a federal arrangement. So you cannot begin to say you are unable to take information from provinces, whether you call them regions, to the extent that you get a disclaimer. I personally do not want to accept that. You refused to provide information. Hence then, the Auditor General could not make an opinion. It's an allegation which I want you to prove to us. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Followed by Umama Utemba. Umama Utemba, yes, right, from the Ujeki. After Comrade Ujeki, to Honourable Member Dao, and then on the last one.
Chairperson, thank you. I think Honourable Lenzana did deliberately to take all the questions. But mine is on when we did our strategic planning at the beginning of the year, Chairperson, in the presence of the Auditor General's office, we spoke of the buildings in each province, the accommodation, if we can get that in writing, you can send that to us. Accommodation, who occupies what, and also whether those who are accommodating, occupying those houses are renting, or who is responsible for all this per province. Because definitely when you are driving around cities, you find there are houses that are vandalized. If you ask, they belong to public works. Some you'll find they say, oh, there's a policeman staying here. So if you can do that audit for us and send us that information of what is really happening with these houses, with the buildings, per province, we will be really happy. But let me also say, Chairperson, this actually needed the whole day. than the last time when we had to send the officials back to the department. This needed the whole day. It's just unfortunate that we had a sitting in the morning. We could have gone right through till now, but time is really against us. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Mama. It's very broad. I will expand. It's correct. Honourable Member Chiki.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and for also an opportunity to allow Gauteng to come here. And I think after the job that we have done in the taking Parliament to the people, noticing that the challenges that are out there, we realize that in Gauteng, being at the centre, we really need to be part of this from now on, because actually it's also our responsibility, knowing that our members are overstretched. But the chairperson has just requested to leave, but as the chief people of the province have stayed here to actually engage. Trustee chairperson, on the minister's forward, that some of the things that you read, you ask yourself a question, especially when you come to slide number 5. In collaboration with the Department of Defense and the Department accelerated the construction of community bridges, one was asking herself, if this project happened, was it budgeted for? And I think, if I know very well, it's a project that was actually an outcry in Hammanskraal, where communities were asking, how does projects that emerge? And I think that one, I'll still discuss it with you, because those are the things that causes this, the very same department, at the end, not being able to pay people to say that they don't have money. That is one thing that will take it further. Can we go to page 20? On page 20 on the slide, I think that slide, you know that this part of the intergovernmental relations, 32 intergovernmental and related meetings coordinated. One is asking herself that the problem that is here is that there are a lot of participation, 8 is a lot. But when you look at programs that are there in the provinces, especially when it comes to asset management, I think it has been a very big debate in Gauteng that we actually put that the portfolio committee put that the department must go on market related, because we are still standing with properties of government, both national and province, where you find people are paying even less than 500. Some of the government don't even know whether their properties belong to them. But at the moment, after having done those actually inspections, and Interstate being the company that was actually allowed to do that, they came out with over 2,000 properties. And out of it, there's land that actually province doesn't know where it belongs to, whether it's local government or it's national. And I'm saying, if there's an intergovernmental relations, let us see something coming out of it. And when we are saying municipalities are owed rates and taxes, who are we blaming? Because the very same, we cannot blame people, because the very same government can't actually provide leadership into that. We must look at ourselves first to say who actually was supposed to pay what. And I'm saying that the challenge in provinces is that, Chairperson, we need your guidance, because those properties are hijacked. In Gauteng, it's happening. And if we can now go and say how many people have been actually arrested, but is there any prosecution? That is another thing. And where are those people? Most of them are in departments. And I'm giving an example of my province and my actually area where I know it's happening. And if you check on our Hansard yesterday, it has been a very big debate in Gauteng about that. Now, on the very same page, we want to actually look at the CIPD challenges at provinces. That there are allegations of the CIPD need to be looked at. Some people are not on the right rating, and they actually end up getting business in government, where you find the right people that are supposed to be getting business, they don't get it. And that is where we will actually raise it as an issue. And when you go to the EPWP, I think it's the same program with all the members that raised to this point. But when you come to people with disabilities, I hear that you are saying 2%, you manage, you can actually have 2%. We cannot actually say that there's a 2% when we have never engaged them, even in the province of the program, because their motto is simple, nothing for us without us. How do you say that you give them work when you didn't ask them what kind of work can they do?
And that's where we come back to say that we have managed on 2%. If we engage the right relevant, actually, bodies that they belong to, we'll be able to actually talk about them. And I'm not going to go back on the service level agreement because there are issues, there are many issues, Chairperson, that we would like to raise as Gauteng. And the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee requested that maybe we'll have to engage through our NCOP delegate to have some of the officials to meet with us, because this intergovernmental relations to us is very important, that in Gauteng, and it's happening in many areas, that we want to actually talk about it. You talk about the skills transfer on slide 15 and the 450 beneficiaries that received critical actually skills from 91 children. The question is, where are they at the moment? Because even the EPWP is a problem to us, both at local government and at provincial level, because we find that people that will go there, they'll go for a short time, and they are not even checked before they go there. After 3 months, the person will tell you that I'm actually getting a grant. I'm going to stop being in this thing. And I think there should be a proper, actually, analysis and look at who's supposed to be there. And on the last part that actually I want to talk about is on the finances. On the finances on 11, I look at the payments register. It says 80% and 66.7 achieved. And the question is why? And the other question is that it's related to the slide that was actually presented by the CFO, that you still have a lot of outstanding guarantees. And I'm asking myself, why do you still have guarantees? And where you say that you have a certain percentage, I don't remember how much, of people that have been paid. But I, for one, CFO, you know very well, I engaged the former minister, the deputy, even yourself, and others, because the programs that are there in your department about some of the people in Gauteng, if they come to Gauteng, and you're unfortunate because I'm the convener of MPs and MPLs in the city of Tshwane, and your programs come to my office, and I think I need a meeting because, Chairperson, a lot of people's companies are going down. They have not been paid for over 3 years. Some of the guarantees, they have not been paid. Some of them, they don't even have project managers now, but they tell a person to go and look for that project manager. You know, some of the issues that are happening there, even if some of them are doing a good work, but those few that are actually down there, you know, you even get information where they talk about some people are not supposed to be doing business because they've been doing vetting and all that and checking who's supposed to be with the department. You find that they do that, but a person doesn't know that his or her company is actually deregistered or it's not supposed to do business with them. They get it from the grapevine. Other officials will leak that information. And I think if you tell my company to say, you are not supposed to do business with me, tell me, don't tell another person. And that is what is the challenge in this department, that the people are not coming up clear. And we are not going to be able to win the war. Some are new, some got the problem from 2006, 1994, and, you know, they are carrying the load of others. But we have to start somewhere, because the intergovernmental relations will be able to solve your problems, because your programs are actually linked. You cannot refuse somebody to do business with you at national, but you allow a person to do business at local government and at provincial. There's no cooperation in that. Chairperson, I think we'll leave it for there as our Gauteng province, because we have a lot to can actually share with them as a province, and we feel that that opportunity of making provinces to come straight here is the better way.
Okay. Honourable Member Tau.
No, thanks, Chair. Maybe just to start with the vetting. I just hope that the department did not renege on the earlier commitment they made around the vetting process, because I can remember we raised this issue during the stress plan presentation, and a commitment was then made by the department to the effect that no company, especially that has been on the database of the department, would be disadvantaged through the process of vetting. Because one of the things that we raised was then, what do you do with those companies that are on the database, that have applied for work, that has bought some stock, waiting for work to be done, or even those that were in the process of doing work for the department, and then only to be informed of the vetting processes. I just hope that they have not been disadvantaged and led to bankruptcy and so forth. The second issue, Chair, you see this annual report, now to me, I will take it as a benchmark. The department will come, obviously, next year with their strat plan. And I think what would be then best, because there's not much that we can do now with regard to the annual report as presented, but rather to use this annual report as a benchmark against what will be presented to us next year by the department in relation to what they would want to achieve moving into the new financial year. To me, that would be more important, because I would not want to see a situation where the department says, in terms of our strategic plan, we want to achieve this, whereas you failed to achieve in the last year and so forth. Because really, I cannot understand, perfectly, this thing of the mass schools. I mean, it's fundamental. It's fundamental. We can't even begin to negotiate that. You can't even think of saying IDT is the one that is wrong as the implementing agency or agent on behalf of the department. I think there must be that political will to really, and not engage even IDT, but to take IDT on. I mean, these are some of the things that our government is going to be charged against. You said you're going to eradicate math schools. What did you do? The money has been rolled over. There is money. I can't go to my constituency and say no. You still have math schools because of IDT could not. I can't. It will be an embarrassment to myself. So I just hope that next year, with regard to your presentation of the strat plan, I would not really want to hear about the lack of responsiveness in relation to the IDT. I was just worried, and I could see maybe I didn't read it correctly earlier on the issue of PAP, because we got the report now the other day that the environmentalists now are also up in arms against the construction of the Pan-African Parliament and so forth. And I see in the report, say 99% of work has been done already in terms of the earthwork. So I don't know, how are you going to justify that? Is that now wasteful expenditure? Or is it, what do you call it? I don't know. You may know better how to deal with that, because I can't understand how that could be activated without a proper environmental impact assessment work being done. The issue of the inner city project, you know, it's like I could have just said the department should not respond to me and respond next year on some of these things that I'm raising. You see, Chairperson, the issue of the inner city regeneration. It was introduced by the former minister, Gwen Mashang. Ah, not Gwen Mashang. No. Togodidis. Togodidis are introducing this thing of the inner city regeneration, or Inuri, whatever. And there was this beautiful plan that was going to happen in Pretoria, housing of departments, and blah, 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 blah. It went on. Former Minister Deutsch, he was on the marathon with it as well. And then came Honorable former Minister Gwen Mashangu Kabind. She took the baton towards the last lap with the project. But the sense that I'm getting out of this is like it's work in progress. It's still a work in progress. I mean, I don't know. Here are delegates from Gauteng. Maybe they can tell us if there's anything that is happening there. But I would not really want to speak to it as if it's something new that is coming before us, Chairperson. I want to speak to the very interesting point that has been raised by the Honorable Groenewald. And I think this is a matter that we have consistently raised. You know, instead of accusing the department on how it is investing in rural areas and how it attracts investment in the rural areas, I would have rather appreciated a posture that then says, how do we as political parties, you know, present this notion of rural development and therefore speak to the owners of capital to then invest in this area? Because yes, government would move in, would put in place the necessary infrastructure, of course with those limitations, but how then do we take that forward? We can't then expect the department again to be the front runners of investors and so forth. Because private capital, for obvious reasons, we have known it now for quite some time, and you know how I would engage, of course, with the DA to say that. Private capital is very parasitic when it comes to this. It will always wait for government to move in and build the infrastructure, then it would come in. You know, I would have rather appreciated if we can take a different posture and say, yes, there is work that is being done in relation to improving the infrastructure in our rural areas, and therefore take it upon ourselves to then mobilize private capital to move in and create the necessary jobs and build the rural economy as we would want that to be done. Other than that, I would really want to see a different response when it comes to the issue of the eradication of the mud schools, and informed by, particularly, I mean, it is fundamental. It is informed by a priority. It is a priority of government, education. And we know how the effect of mud schools have on quality education in the rural areas and so forth. So I think, to me, Chair, that would be my issues, but I'm looking forward to next year with the stress plan being presented by the department. Thanks.
Right. Nevertheless, I'll join to touch few. You see, honorable members, I think members are correct with some of the things which they've raised. I'll start page by page on some of the things that focus strictly on the things which were raised by the Auditor General. We mustn't forget that the Auditor General is there by law in terms of accounting officers, and then also to make sure that some of the procedures have been taking place, in particular also in the PFMAA. Colleagues, let's have one meeting, please.
No, there are anyone.
Yes. Number one, if you check on page 75 and 74, in immovable assets, I think I support the writer on what you are saying. I'll start on page 74. If you check on the assets, like Honorable Kunewald and also what was raised by Honorable Dowen, all of you, I don't think that it's true that we finalized to account on what was left during the era of TPVC. And again, I can recall we visited German some time ago. A lot of things. Also, I wanted to encourage the things which you raised, the issue of intergovernmental, where there is a confusion whether those assets are owned by international relations or all public works. Some of the institute you don't know. And it's worrying, again, about also, a person can raise the question that in terms of the asset register, I'll put another example, where do we still have any land left? Why I'm raising that one? If you recall very well, before the new dispensation, while we're still kids, I used to make an example of that one. There were oranges which were returned outspent. And what happened? Because of the unused land belonging to public works, the former government decided to plant citruses in those oranges. And then they decided to plant
forestry, which is SAFCON and the others. Do we still have any land? We don't know. If we have, how far are you updating us with the really, really information about those lands which is left? I'll put an example. I won't go deeper to that incident because it's sub judice. There was an allegation in Mpumalanga about the land which is 4.14 hectares, which was sold to 3Ms within 4 minutes. That is an example, but I won't go deeper because it's a sub judice. And why we requested people from Home Affairs, Human Settlement, is that for that reason. Because, like you said, you have released land. This, and the madam also made a mistake about calculating, instead of to say 2.3, how much is 2.3, 2.6? You see, these are some of the challenges which we are facing. You go to Western Cape in particular, we were told the majority of the land, plus minus, out of 100%, it is alleged that plus minus 95% or 95% is owned by, we don't know, in particular in the sea point and the waterfront. Some of the things we believe belong to you. That's why there is a need with intergovernmental. With irregular expenditure, what is worrying me is that sometimes it doesn't fall with the issue of you maybe accounting very late. But it also accounts with procedures of tenders. It involves tenders. Some people are taking, it is alleged that they're taking shortcuts. That's why it comes to the question that how many people are being arrested, what is done, which was raised by Honorable Member Jackie. And then I'll go to page 138 about trade in entity, which was raised by Ujik. On page 138, which is also a worrying factor, about trade entity. You see, this irregular expenditure as well also, the basic findings of Auditor General. It's very worrying if you can read the irregular expenditure basics for disclaimer opinion. I can't go through with that one. You can read it on your own. Most, they did not meet adequate. They did not what? They did not what? They did not what? It's a worrying factor. No matter you said you differ with the opinion of the Auditor General, but this is a worrying factor because it's there, black and white. It's there. It is in the public domain now. You can't hide some of this information. And then also, which is worrying me, again, about the issue which was raised earlier on about the issue of asset register administration is, you know, some of your books, I don't think that are correct, like which you said, Honorable Check, that you have discovered plus minus 2,000. So see, some of your properties are supposed to belong to you. I think something must be done on that one. Honorable Member Dow was correct that we need a put that. But please, even if you pull up your socks, Honorable Member, this site was correct to say, also, which was raised by Honorable Member Dow. It is very wrong to point the finger at IDD alone. They account to whom? That's the question. The person who's going to stand and debate for the issue on the behalf of the budget, it's you. It's not the IDD. But how do you give people money whom people who cannot account? It is very pathetic. It's very painful. I'll put the issue of the EPW. With the issue of the EPW is worse. I'll make it a practical example. You are correct, Honorable Member Dow, about the EPW. People are not aware, and Honorable Member Mlenzana, which you raised, about 500, half a billion rands. Half a billion rands which is taken back, which has never been utilized. Why? It's because they were not proper. Maybe, you see, it was very difficult for them to direct the life function of the local government, how to utilize the money, etc., and the like. So who's to be blamed? You were correct to say, I was actually the Nick McKinley, to say there was this money of which they have requested overspending, I mean, something like that, which was the proposal which they wanted to request, and which you stop about it because they didn't spend whatever underspending. You said there was a problem of underspending, so there was money which was not released. You see, it's frustrating. As members are saying, we have a lot of things to ask, which was worth for the media was going to be here, because, like, who remember the things which was raising. Things which started from former Minister Diza, former Minister Doyle, former Minister, but they are not being done. Why? Because it goes with you, some of you as directors and the like, and also it means as you acting direct, it means that they are misleading you. You must have a system how to make the system to talk to each other. As long as your system doesn't talk to each other, forget. How can you give them this close and close? Because we're supposed to go and vote for you to get this, some of this budget. But why are you failing to account? And then, you know, as I indicated, to me it's very pathetic. My heart is beating because I don't know where to start. Like the issue was raised by Honourable Member Mlenzana. And okay, Honourable Member Dawu, you were correct to say even parties must engage themselves. But charity begins at home. In terms of the internal audit on page 79, and then also in terms of the leadership, you see, read for yourself under the leadership on page 79. They didn't do what they didn't. Who was supposed to make sure that they, you see, if people are failing to function, who's supposed to make them to function? It's black and white. The Auditor General was saying, although, I mean, the accounting officer did not exercise oversight responsibility regarding what. The accounting officer did not, in all instances, establish one and communicate what. I don't know where to start. It's disgusting. I don't know where to start. Honourable Member Dawu, well, I would support that idea which you are saying, because it gives us a way that we must do, because we don't know where to start exactly. Because how many years we are in power now? It's nearly 17 years, if I'm not mistaken. Whatever. There must be something which is motivating us. Even when we say we wanted to engage us in the political level, but we must have resources on the ground. Human beings who are very active in that regard. Because if we can check, we're facing a challenge of housing. As long another problem which is a challenge, there must be an intergovernmental meeting between land development and also with the rural development as well. Land development and rural development as well. And, I mean, lot of and human settlement. And COCTA as well. Because, to be honest, in 1994, people stole land. A lot of people stole quite a number of land because where to cash them. That's why it is amazing, very difficult for some people to sell some of the part of the land. Because before you sell me something, give me papers. They don't have papers to prove that land belongs to them. It is your responsibility to make a follow-up to check in those cards. That one of the inner city, I want to repeat again. To me, I'm really concerned because I don't know where to start. I've got a lot of things which was raised by the Auditor General, as I indicated, as Honourable Member Dawu indicated, and I've talked a lot of things. And you see, like the issue of rollovers, which I spoke about, which were not being approved because of people they underspend. Mm-hmm. Why they underspend? Is it because of lack of capacity? Or is it people were not being directed how to deal about these matters. You don't know exactly, but as I indicated, charity begins where? At home. Yes, charity begins at home. And I'm appealing once more also, as we are indicated, maybe we'll respond some of the issues, but some of these issues. And another thing which I wanted to, which I've talked to my seniors, which is the organization where I belong, people must learn not to defend themselves. And the people must learn to be honest. Because, you know, when you are honest, it's very easy as members to support you, to say, hey, but that one is a hard worker. Let's go and do one, two, three. And this thing, which is an embarrassment in terms of corruption, I don't speak about allegations. If irregular expenditure, how many people have been charged? And how much was involved? That the one which you are raising is very sensitive, that some people were charged, in particular from the department, but they're out, nothing has happened. Those, some of the things must be corrected. As I indicated myself, I'm a chairperson of this committee, but sometimes I feel frustrated. That's why, in a stretch next year, if possible, if you can capture well, you must also bring in, rope in, the Department of the Auditor General, the section of the Auditor General, and as well as the Treasurer, so that they can assist us in terms, maybe we are failing to do one, two, three. And in your own time plates, which you are showing, if you can evaluate yourself, how many were achievable, how many were not achievable, why they were not achievable, you can find that it's an embarrassment. In terms of things which are related to service delivery. In terms of things related to service delivery. Because at the end, the very same people on the ground, when they're marching, demonstrating, they don't demonstrate against you, they demonstrate to us as politicians in the various place where we are staying. So by saying that, I'll give you an opportunity maybe to respond, but I'm frustrated because I don't know where to start. If you can come. Let's give them an opportunity.
No, no, that's important. That's a point of privilege.
Okay.
I'm privileged. I know.
Okay. A second.
It could be like
that. Chairperson, I'm appreciating the amount of work that we have given to them in terms of questions. And also time that we have now, vis-a-vis what Uma Mutemba had raised. I didn't lobby you deliberately so that you just chop my head if I'm out of order. How is then, Chairperson, we say, acting DG, pack the thing, go to Pretoria. Then, next year, when you come back to present the stretch plan, take into consideration the questions, come with answers, detailed, informing your stretch plan. I'm thinking, this is thinking from the heart now, not from the head. Thank you.
To me, it's heavy. I don't know where to start. But before that, maybe, you see, I think it's wise to have maybe 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And then, but honorable members, I wanted to request from you, because the next day we might be busy next year, but on what we are getting from them, we must have something a day or two in their threat plan. I'll put an example now. That one, I just left it, the page 78, you reminded me something about the internal audit. There is one paragraph, can I read it for you, or anybody can read it for me, which says, which is point 31, paragraph 31, I'll phone the mom when I'm a trooper. Yes. Page 78, internal audit. And then you see what, ne? Honorable member Dao. Ask yourself, what does it tell you? Yes. Internal audit. paragraph 31, only that one. May please read it. Listen to this one.
Yes, sir.
The internal audit function did not access the operational procedures and monitoring mechanisms over all transfers made, including transfers in terms of DORA as per the requirements of Treasury Regulation
3.2.8.
Amen. You see, these are some of the things that, some of the things is upon your shoulder, you can do it. But the weakness is on your side. Even in future, I think it is unacceptable because you are given deadlines by the Auditor General to say, by this date you submit this and this. Sorry? It's internal. But it's an opinion of the Department of the Auditor General. I'm just illustrating something that, please, in your explanation earlier on, some of the things where you dispute what is the Auditor General saying, charity belongs at home. Make sure that before the deadline, you submitted all what is required. And then I can give it over to you like what was suggested, because there's two things which were suggested. One, that we continue next year during the strat plan. And then Honorable Lenzana raised the issue that we proposed that maybe we put aside some of the things. Sorry, you said?
Can I second?
Second is me.
Yeah. Can I second the suggestion, Chair? And in seconding that suggestion, I think, well, of course, my colleagues can cut my throat. But I'm seconding the suggestion with the appreciation, of course, by the honesty as displayed by the department in all those areas that have been identified. I mean, I took a lot of pride in having noticed some of the things. I didn't pick that one up. But the level of honesty. In some other departments, you don't even get that printed in the annual report and so forth. So I'm seconding this notion and encourage the department, of course, to go and do some more work. I mean, who doesn't know that the department has been bedeviled with so many problems and challenges, and the extent to which they've been trying their best to put their issues together. And of course, I mean, without our support, we would be doing an injustice. That is why I made the proposal and seconding this one now, that next year let it be the basis way in which we would then start the process moving forward. Thanks.
Department, over to you. What will be your intake?
Check. We, of course, the protocol of governance will dictate that if the select committee takes a particular view about how to process this issue forward, as a department, we shall respect that. So we therefore undertake that the questions that were raised by members, and as the proposal has been seconded, will then, when we meet next year in preparation to the strategic plan, as we present this plan, we'll therefore provide also written answers to the questions that were raised by the members. So in short, Honorable Chairperson, we're in agreement with the way forward.
Honorable members, that is the response from the acting DG. But also acting DG, in our strategic plan, we need to request from the onset that we request your principal to be there, so that we are able to chart the way forward, or else to have an amicable solution to solve the problem. Because the issue of intergovernmental, it also needs them to be there. Therefore, honourable members, there was last thing before we closed the meeting. There was a proposal which was raised by Honourable Member Tao
that good people, that even among ourselves, let us maybe discuss that thing of the big business as parties. Let us not differ in that. We don't say that they agree with us, but we must do an introspection. Where do we live? Where is the weakness? Why this thing and this thing is happening? I think in the, so that in the next year, when we go to that particular meeting, to have a position that we agreed on this and this and this and this. Our committee is not so big like in the NA, a small committee, but with big brains, because we do have an amicable, I mean, enough time even to go to those locals and provinces. By saying that, I'd like to thank everybody who was here in this meeting. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.
I